Blog Talk Radio.
Praise Him, join your life. We're going to do a song that's a part of our worship. How many know He's wonderful? Put your hands together and sing this.
Yeah.
Father and our God, we just thank you for this opportunity to come and share with your people once again the word that you've given us. And we thank you for what you've done, what you're still doing, what you're going to continue to do in our lives. So we bless you in advance. We give you all the honor. We give you all of the glory. We give you all of the praise. This is our prayer in your darling son, Jesus' name, for his sake. Every heart said amen. We are thankful once again just to be here. Thank God for each and every one of you. We welcome you tonight once again, those of you that came out on campus tonight. Also, we want to welcome Wondrous Word broadcast listeners, radio, and those tuning in Facebook. I want to welcome you, each and every one of you. Thank God for you for sharing with us on these lessons as we come each week or when we come on. You're here supporting, so we thank God for you. And to our radio broadcast listeners, we thank God for you as well, but also those of you that's online, Facebook, you want to call in on our radio broadcast, the number is 646-200-0278 for our radio broadcast. That's 646-200-0278. You can call in, listen in on our radio broadcast as well, on this radio broadcast, but we welcome you tonight, our followers, for coming in, share with us on Facebook Live, and for you here on campus once again tonight. Let's get into the Word of God of study tonight. We've been dealing with this me first mentality, and in that we dealt with our attendance, how sometimes we put things ahead of God, even in our attendance of coming into the sanctuary, coming into his presence, also in our contributions. We have a tendency of putting contributions on a lot of things before the kingdom. Amen. We give our contributions to any and everything else first before the kingdom of God. But we need to understand that we have to put God first in everything that we do. Now we want to deal with our service to one another. In our service to one another, we got to put that in front of ourselves, because we know it's not about us. If we understand, it really is not about us. When we are servants of the Lord, it's about doing his work for his kingdom, in his kingdom, for his people. So there will come a time when we have to put others even before ourselves. Let's see, because God has blessed each of us with gifts to serve one another. God has blessed each and every one of us with gifts to serve each other. We all have gifts. We may not have the same gifts, but we all have gifts, and those gifts are to serve one another. If my gift, you will be able to contribute or get something from what God has given me and help you and lift you up, then I'm supposed to share my gift with you for that cause. If you got something in an area where I'm lacking, you have a gift that will help elevate me, help elevate the kingdom of God, you are supposed to utilize that gift. Amen. He's given each and every one of us gifts. Go to Romans chapter number 12. We welcome you, our viewers. We welcome you on tonight. We see you coming in. God bless you, Pastor Gallagher, Elder Jones, Andre Green, we thank God for you all. We see you all coming on. Sister Hargrave, we see you all coming in and coming on. Those still coming in on campus tonight, we see you all on our Wondrous Word broadcast. We thank you for tuning in tonight. We are supposed to share our gifts with one another. Colleagues, I see Albany State coming in, the football team. I see y'all. Amen. We thank God for all you guys. Let them know the bishop is on. Romans chapter number 12. Romans chapter number 12. Let's look at verse number 3 through 8. Let me get where I can read. Put these things on. Amen. Romans 12, verse number 3 through 8. Look what it says. I'm going to start with verse number 1 from the New Living Translation. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because all he has done for you. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, he's saying. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind that he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. You want to worship him? Present your body to him as a living sacrifice. This is true worship. Huh? Don't copy the behavior, huh? And the customs of this world. Don't do what the world is doing. Don't go after the world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you. If you allow God to change your mind, you'll know how to think. If you let him change your mind, you'll know what he wants you to do. Amen? Then watch this. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Here it is, verse number 3. Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. As I said, it's not about you, so don't you think you're better than you really are. Look at what he's saying. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves. That done cut a whole lot of folk off right there. Amen. A lot of folk got cut right there. They got cut off because he said, I need you to be honest in your evaluation of yourself. Be honest about who you are. Come on, you know you got some issues. We know we are messed up in some type of way. We know we got some things that we need to be worked on. Yeah, we know. There are some things that, God, I know I need some help in that you need to work on me. That's why a lot of times people go around saying, please be patient with me. God is not through with me yet. One reason he's not through with you, you won't let him work on you. One reason he's not through with you, you refuse to let him work on you. And if he can't work on you, things can't change. Come on, you got to want to change. Admit, you got to want God to do something in your life. You got to want to be better, be different in your life. And you want us to be patient. Come on, I used to sing the song, I hear the song, please be patient with me. God is not through with me yet. When God get through with me, I shall come forth. But you can't come forth as pure gold if you don't let him work on you.
Amen.
You're still going to be rusted. You're going to be messed up. And God can't work on you if you don't come into his presence. Oh, God. He can't work on you if you don't commune with him. If you don't communicate with him, he can't work on you. If you don't spend time with him, how in the world can he work on you and you're nowhere near him? Nearer, nearer God to thee. You can't get near. He can't work on you because you're not trying to get close to him. And because of that, he can't utilize the gift that he's given you because you don't even know the gift that you have. You don't even know what you possess. And God is trying to show us, God is trying to help us, but we're refusing the help. It says, I need you to be honest in your evaluation of yourselves. Be honest in your own evaluation. It's amazing how we can evaluate everybody else. And talk about, oh, I'm just telling the truth. Come on. We're good at evaluating others, talking about we telling the truth about it, but we can't be honest about our own lives. Tell the truth about yourself. You messed up, you're a busybody, huh? You're a liar, you're a cheat, you're a gossiper. Well, be truthful about yourself. You're a troublemaker. Come on. I'm always getting on somebody's nerves. Huh? You be truthful about yourself. I'm throwing the rock, hiding my hand. Be honest about your evaluation. I act one way in front of Bishop. I act a different way when I'm out in his presence. Be truthful about yourself, your own evaluation. Don't be trying to evaluate everybody else when you messed up. And that's the problem. We're seeing ourselves in others but don't want to admit that's us. That's my problem. How well do we know? You can identify somebody else's problem because that lets you know that's your problem. So as one thing is, so is he. And we got to understand that. I can identify everybody else. I'm looking at everybody else, but really what I'm doing, and I won't admit it, I'm looking at myself. Because I see the ignorance because I'm dealing with myself, but I don't want to admit it. So I put it off on somebody else. Oh, they just got a problem. They don't even see their problem. Hello, listen to what you're saying. They don't even know they got an issue. Knock, knock. I'm coming in whether you want me to or not. You don't even know you have an issue. You know, they don't want to admit. Come on. But you're trying to say somebody else. You're in what? Like lady said, denial. And a lot of, it's a sad story to know that a lot of saints are in denial about who we really are. And because you've been doing it so long, Elder Bill saying with reprobated mind, you just believe you just doing right. And just as wrong as you can be. Wrong is too late. Come on, be honest about the evaluation of yourself. Measure yourself by the faith God has given you. Measure by the faith God has given you. What faith has God given you? What measure? Because there are measures. Everybody don't have the same measure. You must understand. That's why he said measure. Measure yourself by the faith, the measure of faith that God has given you. Because everybody's faith is not as strong as my faith. You just got a little mustard seed level. Measure. And that's all, because all I need is just the size of a mustard seed, and we stuck right there. That's where we ended up at. We began and we finished right there. But your faith should be have grown by now. It should have grown by now. Your faith should, your seed should be a lot bigger. You should have a plum seed faith or something. What's some big seeds? Oh, plum seed.
Avocado
seed. Your faith should have grown by now.
Hmm?
don't have it. You can't get it. If you are, if you're not near the Lord, you're not trying to be near the Lord, God can't work on you. He can't work on your faith because you ain't trying to get near it. Because that's all we talk about, mustard seed faith. So everybody got a mustard seed. I just got a mustard seed. Okay. I'm grateful for the beginning. There's always a beginning. And watch what he says there. If you have the faith the size of a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain. Now, if your faith of your seed have grown, have become bigger, if you just got a faith size of a mustard seed, you can say to a mountain, imagine if you got a plum seed faith, what you can say, who you can speak to. You can speak to a nation. You can speak to a community. You can speak to a city, a state, and think it got to be moved. But we just so content with having a mountain to be moved. On his promise. You got to. Just as your bodies have many parts, and each body has a special function, you got many parts, and each one of your part of your body have a different function. They don't all function the same. Although they have some function in them, they don't operate the same. Huh? You can't move them the same. You can't move your ears like you can move your fingers. Come on. You can't move your mouth like you can blink your eye. Come on, if you open up your mouth as many times you blink your eyes over 30,000 times a day, like shutters, opening up shutters, your eyes are blinking over like 30,000 times a day. If you open your mouth, something's going to be messed up. So it's not meant for you to operate the same as everybody else. It's not meant for you to operate like everybody else. The body has many parts. Many parts, but each function differently. The body of Christ has many parts, but each function differently. Don't you get upset because you can't sing like somebody else. Come on. Okay, I'm going to use you because you turned around. Look at, I'm going to use her. Huh? Come on. Lady Wright can't sing like me. Let me teach you. Yeah, let me teach this. She can't sing like me. But I can't pray like she can. She has a prayer anointing over her life. I can pray, but my anointing is different than hers. So guess what? That's the gift that God wants you to use for the kingdom. Come on, I might could type, but I can't type like Elder Veal. Because that's not my gift. So I wouldn't be trying to go and do all of this typing and try to have something in an hour, and I know it's going to take me 2 or 3 hours. Come on. We have different. different functions of how we function in the body of Christ, in the kingdom. Many members. In one body, when we put it all together and everybody operates like it, they should operate with whatever God has given you. Come on. Everybody can't stand up and preach like your leader. But you got to do it however God give it to you. I've seen a lot of folk mock a lot of things. Everybody, you know, one thing that people try to mock around preachers, get ready. You can't say that like James. It's just how he says it. Regardless of how you try to say it. And you might say it good. But it's not the same. You got to measure yourself by faith that God has given you. Our body has many members, and each part has a special function, a special function. And in other words, you need to understand and know you're special. You got to understand and know, look, I'm special. Because the function, the part that I have, is a very special part for the kingdom of God. And you got to understand that. So is it. So it is with Christ's body. Same thing with the body of Christ. We are many parts of one body. And we all belong to each other. That's why it's important for our service to one another. We are supposed to help each other. We got to help each other. What is that? I believe it's, 1 Corinthians 1:21. Let me see. I believe that's where it is, 1 Corinthians. Let's see here. Where it says that I cannot say to thee, I have no need of thee. Let's see where. 1 Corinthians. Is that there? I believe it's in 1 Corinthians somewhere. I can't gather it right now, but it's in there. Y'all Google that for me and then pull that scripture up for me while I'm teaching. But the scripture says that I cannot say. 12. Yeah, I knew it. 1:21, 12:21. 1 Corinthians 12. I was missing a number. 12:21. We all, that's what Satan helped me this for. We all belong to one another. We all have a part to do. And look what it says, 12:21. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. The eyes cannot say to the hand, the head cannot say to the feet, that I don't need you. In fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. And I gave this example before and showed you before in an example using it with my hand. When I look at my hand, I use my hand and in my prayer life, when I'm praying, I use my hand for a symbol of praying, of how I need to pray and who I need to pray for. If you look at your hand, you can find out and you can determine that your hand can be utilized in your prayer life. Because when you look at the hand consists of 27 bones dealing with the New Testament. There's three bones in each finger, phalange, three bones, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. When I look at the hand, it's so unique, it's awkward. It has an axle that it can turn over back and forth. You know, the hand is very unique. It's very important. When I look at the hand and when I put my hand together and put it up, I see something that's not connected with the rest of my fingers. There's something on your hand. It's not connected or can't get as close. Huh? And that's the thumb. It can't get as close as the others can come together. But there's still a little gap right there in the midst of my hand. So when I use this as my prayer life, I use my thumb, watch this, to pray for something that's near and dear to me. Because the thumb is closest to you. So I use that to pray for folk that are near and dear to me. I pray to God because he's near and dear to me. I pray for my family, my mother, my father, my wife, my children. They are near and dear to me. So I use this as an example in my prayer life. When I look at my next finger, it's the point finger that lets me know I need to pray for those that give me direction, that can give me instruction. I use that to pray for people that give me instruction. The middle finger is the tallest of them all. That lets me know I got to pray for the VIPs, the very important people. I pray for my government. I pray for Congress. I even pray for the president, the very important people. You don't leave nobody out. I pray for pastors. I pray for important people in my life. And not only after that, I go to the next finger, which is the ring finger. And we say, this is the weakest finger of them all. So when you look and that the ring finger or the weakest finger, it lets you know you got to pray for weak folk because everybody is not as strong as you. Come on, so I need to pray for those whose faith is not as strong as my faith, who's not as strong as dealing with pressure and trials and trouble. I got to know how to pray for folk. But then the smallest one is the pinky finger. And one thing about it, you can cut the pinky finger off and you won't even know it's not there. It's not it. And that lets me know I need to pray for those that watch, that the least of them all, the least bubble in the water, let me pray for those that you may not even think about, may not even know about. I may not know your name, but I still got to pray for you, keep you in my prayer. You can look at the hand. It's unique. It's very unique of how God designed it. And I cannot say that I cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. Because if my eye sees something, my eye can't go pick it up. Come on. I couldn't pick this cup up with my eye. I needed my hand to help assist me to pick that up. The head cannot say to the feet, how would it look if I was just the one big head? Y'all know Mr. Potato Head? Y'all just how would that look? No feet, just one big old head trying to go somewhere and can't go anywhere because I don't have any feet to carry me or to take me where I need to go. Head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. We need each other. We need each other because some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. We need every individual in the kingdom of God. You need to know you are important. You are important. Your gift that God has given you. Watch it says in verse number 23, and the part we regard as less honorable are those we clothe with the greatest care. We put more into things that we call less honor, and we put more attention to it. Those things that you don't think is very important, people you don't think that can amount to anything, we got to make sure we put special care with it. So we carefully protect those parts that should not be seen, while the more honorable parts do not require special care. Some of your faith is stronger than others. So it don't take as much care. You got some folk coming in so weak and don't understand and don't know, and you can say boo to them, they start crying. Because they're not as strong. So you got to be careful how you handle the parts of the body. You got to be careful how we handle the parts of the body. Some people are not as strong as you. And you should be strong because you've been here a while. You've been under the word a while. Some people just trying to find themselves and find out who they are. And find out what gift or what purpose that they have trying to find themselves in Christ. And then you can't go and just hammer them or say anything to them. Any kind of way. You got to be careful what you say to people when they come into the house of God. Look at them, how they dress. They know they shouldn't have that on. Come on, now what did you just do? You just sent them right back out. Because they was trying to find a relationship. Get a relationship. But we pushed them back out. Because some folk, you don't want to see them doing good or being better. So some people just want to see them the same. So you can be so, or act so holy or seem so holy around them that they got to come to you. You don't want them to find out that they have an anointing hidden within themselves that God is ready to utilize. Because you're afraid if they really understand and find out that they have a gift, that they have an anointing on the inside of them, you won't have your spot. Yeah. You won't have your spot in the kingdom. Man, they done came over here and they done took my position. No. They didn't take it. God gave it to them. Because you wasn't utilizing yours. You was too busy seeing everybody else's, but wasn't honest in your own evaluation. We're too busy evaluating everybody else and not evaluating our own selves. We're not looking at our lives. Amen? Let's see. You got to take God has to put the body together such that extra honor and care are given to those parts that have less dignity. When God puts it together, he puts it together with those that don't have as much as we have. He got to put more attention to it. This makes for harmony among the members. There has to be a balance. There has to be some transparency. Brings harmony. Because what? They don't have it all. You don't have it all. And it takes some good and some bad to come together to make it great. Amen. So that all the members care for each other. If one part of the body suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are glad. Come on. We should be excited. When one part of the body is honored, we all should be glad for that part of the body. Why they don't never do nothing for me? I done been here. I done did this. I done did. Ain't nobody honor me. Ain't nobody give me no certificate. Ain't nobody appreciate my day. Come on. It's not about you. It's about the body. Here are some of the parts that God has appointed for the church. These are some of the parts that God has appointed for the church. He appointed, first of all, some apostles, prophets, do miracles, those who have the gift of healing, those who can help others, those who have the gift of leadership, and those who speak in unknown languages. These are just some of the gifts that he has given. Apostles, set order, deal with order, put everything in order. There has to be order in the house of God. And see, a lot of folk don't like when we operate under the apostolic calling. Now, some people just don't want to be in order. Folk want to do what they want to do, how they want to do it, when they want to do it. But there has to be order. Prophets. You know, some people don't want the prophet to come and give them what God has given them. They want the prophet to come and tell them, look, about this time tomorrow morning. Huh? By this time tomorrow, in the morning, you're going to wake up, your mailbox going to be filled with money. Folk will run, jump, shout all over the place. Come on that prophetic right there. You think in the morning, tomorrow, you won't have nothing else to worry about. All your cares, everything gonna be provided. You gonna have enough money to take care of everything, and you gonna live a wealthy life. Folk will run with that and run and shout, and I'm talking about you can't stop them from praising God. Yes, ma'am. Because that's what we want. We want this quick, microwave quick blessing, these things to come quick. Prophets. We don't want the prophet to come tell us, oh, you must set thine house in order. You shall surely die. Your house out of order. You got to get your stuff together. We don't want to hear that prophetic word of this is what's going to happen to you. That ain't of God. I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. Now you start rebuking stuff. You start rebuking the prophet now on the prophetic word because that's the word you don't want. You don't want that one. You just want the one where you're going to be prosperous. Teachers. Everybody can't teach. Come on, it doesn't matter how much education you have. Everybody can't teach. Don't have the gift of teaching. Because some people, because you have education, and it's good to have education, don't get me wrong, good to have education, but you don't know how to teach. Why? Because once you get up and start talking, you'll be using words that don't nobody know. Come on. You've got a variety of people in the crowd, and you may have one or two that understand some of the words that we use. But others don't understand nothing, and they walk off not knowing what you just said. Nothing in their lives have changed. Amen? But we want to show off our education. That's why everybody can't teach. You've got to be able to teach where everybody understands. Because the Bible says, in all that you get an understanding. So if you don't get an understanding and you're teaching and people don't get an understanding, you're not a good teacher. Now don't get quiet. I just told you that you can still talk. Uh-huh. Come on, you can still talk. But when you get close with God and see what happens there because of the anointing, watch this. You're not relying on your education. I might can't get it across to you like I should, so I need the anointing to teach me, help me, how to get this word across to you so you can understand what God is saying. Because if I stand up and talk about the continuities of the gratitude of the belongings and the continuities of all the proficiencies and the collaborations of the and the conspicuities and we be sitting up there looking like, what? Bishop done lost his mind. Y'all understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
You'll be looking at me like, and you really don't want to say no. Amen. You'll be amen and be like, you know you ain't understand nothing I just say. So we got to be able. God gives gifts. Everybody have a gift that God has given that you must utilize in the kingdom. Those who do miracles. God does have people that he's given the gift to do miracles, perform miracles. Everybody is not shady. Everybody is not crooked. God has given them an anointing to do miracles. Come on, the gift of healing. There are some people God has given the gift that they can do healing. You see, some folk come in services one way, walk out a different way. God has given a special anointing. That's why he gives the gifts to whom he desired to give it to. But one thing about it, when God gives you a gift, don't go and pimp that gift. Don't go and manipulate people because of your gift. Because God can take it away from you. Amen? And those who can help others. That's just some people that just have the anointing of help. And we all have an anointing that we can help somebody. We all have that gift, a gift of help. Now, some folks just don't want to help. But we all have the gift of help. Look, you got sinners that help people. They help people become better sinners. They show them how to get by. You got caught this time. Let me show you how not to get caught the next time. People help. But one thing about the kingdom of God, there are some folks in the kingdom of God that don't want to help each other. That's when that crab and bucket mentality come in. Trying to pull you down, don't want to help. They don't want to help you. Because they want everybody to come to them. They want to be the one. I'm the very important one. Come on. How is it that we don't like helping one another? If we find out something that's helping our particular ministry, we should not be in a point where we ain't going to try to help nobody else. Because they may grow faster than us. They may get more than us, whatever the case may be. That should not be the case. Yes, ma'am. You gotta know how to follow. That's why we're coming up. If you understand help, I'm helping. I got the anointing of help. I don't mind helping. Even if you get me upset, I'm still gonna help. Come on, you may have gotten on my last nerve. But when you got the anointing of help, it doesn't matter. I'm going to do what I need to do for the kingdom. You could have been the one that just scandalized my name, lied on me so so bad trying to break me down and tear me down. But I'm still going to help you because that's the anointing on my life. And I'm being blessed by me using the gift that God has given me. Then he gave those the gift of leadership. The gift of leadership. I say everybody can't be teachers. Everybody can't be a leader. Everybody don't have or understand the art of persuasion, of leading people, persuading people to do things that they really don't want to do. Persuading people to see, look, well, this is what's in you. And leaders help bring out the stuff that's in you. Help you see this is what's in you, the gift that's in you that needs to be utilized. Leaders, great leaders. And when great leaders lead people, great leaders are great teachers, and when they begin to put those things together, and then they see those that they taught and those that they have led begin to do the things that they have been taught. Come on. Things that you didn't used to do or thought that you couldn't do, or those things that you were afraid of doing, now when you see people doing those very things, that puts a smile on the leader's face. Because now they see the reward of their leadership. When some things you don't have to tell them about it, it's automatically just start doing it because they understand and know this has to be done. Everybody can't lead because everybody can't handle certain pressures. Everybody can't take certain things. That's why the word declares to us, many are called, but few are chosen. There's many that's called, but few are chosen because God knows everybody can't handle being a leader. You got to have that toughness, that tough skin. Be a leader, somebody telling you what to do. Okay. You're afraid to what? Discipline. You're afraid to correct. Leaders are not afraid to lead. Yes, ma'am.
You ain't invite God.
You invited the Amma. Amma. You got a whole church full of Ammas. God is not in. So now when it don't work out the way you thought it was going to work out, well, they had something else. But now you're coming up with excuses as to why it didn't turn out the way you thought it was going to turn out, because God's anointing wasn't on it. Because when God's anointing is on it, and when God ordained it, it will be successful. You thought you was going to raise a whole lot of money, but you didn't get what the one that first put it on, that God gave them through that an anointing with a very few people. You didn't get as much because it was all about you. It's all about you. That's why when God gives you something, he puts his anointing, he puts his stamp on it. And look, it may seem as though it's not going to come together. But when it comes into the presence and the program is being presented and in effect, the anointing come in and tear the whole place up. And we be like, wow, what just happened? Even with very few people, because it doesn't take a whole lot, whether there are two or three gathered in his name, he will be right there in the midst. Yes, ma'am. He knows. He can't trust you with the anointing of healing.
Honored in his own home.
Yes, ma'am.
Show you through the prophetic, he'll give it to the prophet.
to come and confirm,
amen,
the word that he's given you already. Or he will give the prophet a word to give to you, and then the confirmation will come somewhere else. The confirmation will come somewhere else. So now, because watch this, you will run from this word, and you go somewhere else, and here you go. God will confirm the word that he sent through from the prophet. Yes, ma'am. Right away. You know, they have the spirit of discernment.
Amen.
So when we walk in the room, you can be coming out of church school, and I just walk in the door. You coming out, I just walk in the door. I pick up some stuff because it's in the atmosphere. And I'm already in the atmosphere mood of what? Worship and putting this word and getting this word out. So when I pick things up, God begin to reveal things to me. And sometimes there'll be a change of plan. The message changed because of what was discerned. And God said, this is what you need to deal with. This is what you need to speak on. So this is what we do when we obey him. I don't care how long you've been practicing on that message. Oh, this is a hot one here. I got to get this one here out. I'm telling you, this is going to be the bomb message right here. I'm ready to preach that. Then you come in and God just change everything. Then here you are. When you've been rebellious to it because you want to preach what you want to preach, and God is telling you to speak what he wants you to speak to the people for the need of the people right then, that very moment, that rhema word, I'm sending you a rhema word that they need right there. You trying not to do it, so people leave messed up because we weren't obedient to the will of God and to the word of God. Yes, ma'am. And it's crazy, because this is the time of the year, the season, where you start seeing a lot of snakes. All the rain, all the snakes start coming out. What's the date? Yesterday. I'm trying to see, is it Sunday or was it yesterday? Today, Tuesday. I think it was Sunday. Yesterday. It was yesterday. It had been yesterday. But it was one day. I walked out the house. I've been to my house, seen I got bushes right there around the house, and there's a big opening right down my right, but on when I come out on the left, there's a bush right there. I walked out the house and I saw something. I looked and I thought it was a lizard. And I'm talking about it blended with the coloration.
Yes, yes.
But when I looked and it looked at me and we like staring eye to eye, I said, that's a snake. And that joker, he looked and started backing up. He started backing up, back up in the bushes. I'm sitting, I'm looking at him. I said, now I know this ain't a snake that I'm looking at right here. I'm like, yeah, it's time to shake off some snakes.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I didn't kill him. I didn't kill him. Go. He left because of what? It's like we got out of eye contact, and I'm looking at it. It's looking at me, and it's like, no, you ain't intimidating me. You're not going to scare me. You got to flee from here. I'm looking at it. I said, because now, and what? I was looking for something, see if I can grab to kill it, huh? But when he looked, and really, it's like the snake just started backing up out within the bushes, and I came back and I looked. I went to the car and I came back looking, gone. I couldn't find it. It was gone. And I was like, Lou, I said, I just finished preaching, shake off the snakes, and here it is now. I come out. And it's right there, looking at like it was coming out. But when it looked, I looked up. I know said, okay, God, you let me know. I got the time to shake off some snakes. There's going to be some that's going to try to poke the head out. There's going to be some snakes that's going to try to poke their heads out. But see, you got to stand on the ground. You got to stand on the ground that folks, they're going to try to shoot some poison out on you. But you're going to survive this. Huh? You let it know, look, you're going to survive this because guess what? They're going to get out of here. But when I came back, it was gone. So what is it saying? You don't have to worry about the snakes that begin to poke their heads out. Because they're going to get away because there's an anointing. Look, y'all missing that now. Y'all missing it. There's an anointing that's on your life. Even the snakes got to run. And they realize the anointing. The snakes are going to realize the anointing that's on your life. Yeah. Let me see. Yes, in the natural and in the spirit. In the spirit, you have to develop the spirit of an eagle. Eagle snatches the head of his prey. Sister Drusilla, help it up today. Yeah, the eagle snatches the head of the prey. Come down and snatch the head. Look, you may think you're trying to intimidate me. Yeah. I'm gonna take the head off. I got you. Yeah. I got you. And they can see you. Watch. And eagles can see you far away. Yeah. And before you know it, I'm up on you. You thought you was gonna bring harm to me, but I got you. That's what God is saying tonight. He said he gonna swoop down so fast. The enemy ain't gonna have time to even raise his head up. Y'all receive it. The enemy not gonna even have time. He gonna come so fast when the snake begin to stick his head up. God said he gonna swoop so fast and he's gonna snatch the head of the enemy. You got to understand. Those that have the anointing to speak in unknown language. That's folk that have an anointing to speak in unknown languages. God, give them that anointing. But we need to understand, are we all apostles? Are we all teachers? Are we all prophets? Do we all have the power to do miracles? Do we all have the gift of healing? Do we all have the ability to speak in unknown tongues? Do we all have the ability to interpret unknown languages? Of course not. So you should earnestly desire the most helpful gift. But now let us show you a way of life that is best of all. And it goes into the next chapter dealing with love. The best of all is love. The gift of love. We not all have the anointing of apostles, prophets, teachers to do miracles, healing, of leadership. We don't all have that anointing on our lives, but we do have an anointing. God has given us an anointing. He's given us a gift. And he wants us to utilize that anointing. He wants us to utilize that gift for his glory. To do it for his glory. Amen? I'm telling you, this is wonderful. This is wonderful. We are to bring our service into one to another. Many have little effort to do their part in the work of the local congregation. You got it, but many don't want to do the work. They do not learn the names of other members. There's some folk that don't even know your name. You don't even know other folk names. You don't even seek to find your gift or ability that God has given you. Got people that won't even attend the business meetings, conferences. Women don't even teach classes. Men don't do their part. Women won't do their part. Run from work. They may attend church, but only to receive, not to give of themselves. Lack of involvement in the local church is a sign of the me first mentality. Let me say that again. The lack of involvement in the local church is a sign of the me first mentality. It's all about me. You have something, you have a gift, and you're not utilizing it, it's all about you. When you always want something, but never want to get involved or give, that's that me first mentality. Come in and just, as they say, sit on the stool of do nothing, but complain about everything. They should have did it this way, they should have did it that way. That's the me first mentality. Because things don't work the way we think they should work out. Go the way we think they should go. We stop doing. We stop giving. The me first mentality. We stop contributing through our finances. Me first mentality. Because we are contributing that somewhere else. God knows how to deal with that me first mentality. That's why he said, thou should not have no other God before me. Amen. And when you start putting other things before God, yourself, before him, God knows how to break you down. When you refuse and rebel against doing what he's telling you to do in his word. That's why I say we refuse to sow financially in this kingdom, do what he tells us to do. That's when you start having other issues. Because it's the me first mentality. You start spending more money on other things that you can't afford. Now that 90% gone. Gone. You can't hold on to anything because of that me first mentality. That's rain. It's coming down. But that's how God will get you to understand. Until you understand, it's not about you, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things he added unto you. Ain't winning nothing. When you win something, you lose it right fast. Got a guy came on the shop, said he went home to Mississippi, went to the casino, won over $12,000, $18,000. Said, how much you brought back? None. Because he lost it all. He hold on to it. Came back crying, man. I done lost. Okay. You the one did. You the one, you know, you get greedy. That greed kicks in. But look, when you seek God first and his kingdom and his righteousness, these things be added on to you. Amen. Come on, let me, okay. Okay, okay. Let me show you. I know God will add and take care of when you seek Him first, the kingdom of God and His righteousness. He said, all these things will be added unto you. Right? Come on. Look, I'm in a situation. Lady Wright is not working. I'm the only one bringing finances in. But everything have been paid. Everything have watched and on time. Nothing is behind. Come on. And look, this ain't no. No, what, $700 a month ordeal? You talking about thousands of dollars a month that has to be put out. But everything, every need have been met. Pastor Gallo said gifts are given to share with others. The more you bless, the more He pour into you. The more you give, that's word, the more you give, the more He'll give back to you. Huh? So, Drusilla, wow, I can ask, oh, she says she can hear the rain. And in doing so, I hear God saying, so it is in the natural, so it is in the spiritual. God is replenishing. God. I received that. I received that, Sister Drusilla, Sister Baldwin. I received that. Look. I felt that all up in my, as they say, sanctified soul. I felt that all in my sanctified soul. Look, she said, wow, she can hear the rain. She can actually hear it. I was coming down so she can actually hear it. So what that rain, water symbolization of the Spirit of God. God is pouring His Spirit down.
That would be Elijah because
on us. Yeah. She can hear through. I'm talking about she hears through the broadcast. You know, guess how strong God is saying, look. Oh, God. I received that prophetic. That's a prophetic word that I received. I can actually hear the rain. And in doing so, she says, I hear God saying, so it is. So is it in the natural, so it is in the spirit. Just as it's raining in the natural, and we need the rain. Huh? For the land, for things to grow. Huh? We need the land. So it is in the spirit realm. Bishop, God is replenishing your ministry. He's raining down on us. Thank God for you tonight, all of you tonight, sharing. Thank God for that tonight. Oh, God. Yeah. See, we don't know when to shout. We got to know when to give Him glory. Shout now. Now, these are followers. Those that are connected with us via Facebook, Wondrous Word Broadcast, these are people that's connected, that watch this, that's not here, but can see God, see the power of God, and see what God has in store for us. come on. We ought to be thankful. Look, people can see what God has in store for us. We ought to be able to see some things. And if we can't see it, and we are sitting right under it, something is wrong. Thank God. Thank God for whom? God. Yeah. Thank God for that. Thank God for the ring. For the rain. Thank God for the revelation. Thank God for the rainbow word. Huh? The rain, the revelation, and the rainbow. We thank God. Thank God for you. Thank God for all of you. Look, I'm done tonight. We're grateful and thankful tonight for all that he's done, what he's still done. We thank you for you sharing with us. Blessings to you, amen, for your obedience, for speaking what God has given you to speak. Watch this in my life, not only in my life, but in my ministry's life, my church's life. I thank God for you. And not only that, I cast it right back to you. You know, I cast it right back, the blessings. I speak it back over to your life because you spoke into mine and received it. That it also fall on your life. And some things that we lost, God replenish those things that we lost. Watch, give us more. Amen. Because the more he reigns, the more we will receive. So I'm looking for more for God. We thank God for you. Thank God for each and every one of you. We give God glory. We give God honor. We give God all the praise. Look, thank God for those we say that's graduating, that has graduated, that's getting ready to graduate. We ask that you continue to keep in prayer all of these youth, these schools that's going through these shootings, everything that's happening in our lives. Continue to keep them in prayer as well. God is just still God. In spite of, he's still God. And he's worthy of all the praise. So we thank God for you, each and every one of you. We say we love you. We'll see you again next week. We'll be back next week to continue on. This is a great lesson that we need to understand about the me first mentality. When we put self aside, when we step out of self and let God step in, we'll have a joyful and prosperous life. God bless you.